KSJE and the Farmington Public Library present Quinto's Hana and Tales.
Hello, and welcome to Quinto's Hana and Tales. My name is Melanie Leeson, and I am a youth services technician at the Farmington Public Library. I am going to be reading several different stories today. The first ones are from a book called Start Your Engines, 5-Minute Stories. The first book in this collection is from Margaret and H.A. Ray, and it is called Curious George Takes a Train. This is George. He was a good little monkey and always very curious. This morning, George and the man with the yellow hat were at the train station. They were taking a trip to the country with their friend, Mrs. Needleman. But first, they had to get tickets. Inside the station, everyone was in a hurry. People rushed to buy newspapers, to read, and treats to eat. They rushed to catch their trains. But one little boy with a brand new toy engine was not in a hurry. Nor was the small crowd next to him. They were just standing in one place, looking up. George looked up too. A train master was moving numbers and letters on a big sign. Soon the train master was called away, but his job did not look finished. George was curious. Could he help? George climbed up in a flash. Then, just like the train master, he picked a letter off the sign and put it in a different place. Next, he took the number 9 and put it near a 2. George moved more numbers and letters. He was glad to be such a big help. "Hey," called a man from below. "I can't tell when my train leaves." "What track is my train on?" said another man. "What's that monkey doing up there?" demanded a woman. She did not sound happy. The train master did not sound happy either. "Come down from there right now," he hollered at George. Poor George. It's too easy for a monkey to get into trouble. But lucky for George, it's also easy for a monkey to get out of trouble. Right then, the conductor shouted, "All aboard!" A crowd of people rushed towards the train. George simply slid down the pole, scurried over a suitcase, and squeezed with the crowd through the gate. There, he found the perfect hiding place for a monkey. The little boy with the toy engine also ran through the gate. "Look, Daddy," he said, "it's a train." His father looked up. "Come back," he yelled. "That's not our train." But it was too late. The gate locked behind him. The boy began to cry. George peeked out of his hiding place. He saw the little boy's toy roll toward the tracks. The boy ran after it. This time George knew he could help. He leaped out of his hiding place and ran fast. George grabbed the toy engine before the little boy came too close to the tracks. What a close call. When the train master opened the gate, the boy's father ran to his son. The boy was not crying now. He was playing with his new friend. "So there you are," said the train master when he saw George. "You sure made a lot of trouble on the big board." "Please don't be upset with him," said the boy's father. "He saved my son." The people on the platform agreed. They had seen what happened, and they clapped and cheered. George was a hero. Just then, the man with the yellow hat arrived with Mrs. Needleman. "It's time to go, George," he said. "Here comes our train." "This is our train, too," the father said. The little boy was excited. "Can George ride with us?" he asked. That sounded like a good idea to everyone. So the train master asked the conductor to find them a special seat. And he did, right up front. The next story I'm going to read is called Farmer Dale's Red Pickup Truck, written by Lisa Wheeler. Farmer Dale's red pickup truck hauled a load of hay. A bossy cow with eyes of brown was standing in the way. "How about a ride?" asked Bossy Cow. Hop in, said Farmer Dale. Move over, ordered Bossy Cow. There's no room for my tail. The truck bounced up, the truck bounced down. It spit and sputtered around the town. Farmer Dale's red pickup truck was chugging right along. A woolly sheep came strolling by, bleating out a song. Room for more? Sang Woolly Sheep. Fit me in somehow? No problem, answered Farmer Dale. Move over, uttered Cow. The truck bounced up and shimmied. It coughed and wheezed back down. The pickup spit up a cloud of smoke and sputtered toward the town. Farmer Dale's red pickup truck hit a rocky bump. It swerved beside a roly pig, skating past the dump. Oh, my stars, squealed Roly Pig. You folks just knocked me down. So sorry, Dale apologized. Need a ride to town? I do indeed, said Roly Pig. My skates are broken now. Climb aboard, sang Mooly Sheep. Move over, ordered Cow. The truck bounced up and groaned back down. It hiccuped twice and chugged toward town. Farmer Dale's red pickup truck slowly rattled on. A goat with an accordion stood grazing on the lawn. May I squeeze in? Asked Nanny Goat. My pleasure, Farmer said. Bad idea, sang Woolly Sheep. The engine's almost dead. No room, lamented Roly Pig. We're overcrowded now. We'll make some room, said Farmer Dale. Move over, bossed the cow. The truck bounced up, the springs all popped. The bumper bumped, the pickup stopped. Farmer Dale's red pickup truck stood stranded in the road. It seems you have a problem, a cocky rooster crowed. We do, admitted Farmer Dale. The problem is we're stuck. The weight of all these animals is too much for my truck. Rooster eyed the animals. You're such a cozy group. I hate to cluck like Mother Hen, but who will fly the coop? I just squeezed in, said Nanny Goat. I'm faint, squealed Roly Pig. I won't move, said Bossy Cow. I'm boss of this red rig. Too bad for you, sang Woolly Sheep. The biggest has to go. Settle down, said Farmer Dale. Let's think now, nice and slow. I'll get out, the farmer said, and push us from the rear. Good idea, said Nanny Goat. Cow replied, I'll steer. Farmer Dale's red pickup truck didn't budge at all. Dale pushed until his face was red, and then he heard a call. Can I butt in? Asked Nanny Goat. I'd like to lend a hoof. Rooster squawk, I'll point the way, then roosted on the roof. I'll pitch in, sang Woolly Sheep. I'll ram it with my head. Don't hog the fun, said Roly Pig. Let's all help out instead. The pickup rocked and rumbled. It rolled an inch or so. It's moving, shouted Bossy Cow. The rooster crowed, too slow. Turn the key, said Farmer Dale. I can't, the cow replied. She's got no hands, exclaimed the sheep. Farmer Dale just sighed. You should steer, said Bossy Cow. We'll move this heap along. The beast all pushed together and sang a working song. The pickup bounced and shimmied. It groaned and squeaked and wheezed. It spit a thankful cloud of smoke and started with a sneeze. Farmer Dale's red pickup truck rumbled into town, hauling goat and pig and sheep and cow with eyes of brown. Rooster roosting on the hood, cried cock-a-doodle-cluck. Hip hooray for Farmer Dale and his red pickup truck. The next story I'm going to read is called Here Comes Daryl by Lita Schubert. The thermometer reads 2 below 0 and it's snowing hard at 4 a.m., but Daryl is ready to work. I'll be home for breakfast, he says to Judy. I'll make eggs and home fries, she promises. The main roads will be cleared by the town snowplows, but people with long driveways will be trapped without Daryl. His old truck starts on the second try, and Buster jumps into the front seat. It's so cold that Daryl's nose hairs freeze. As he pulls away, he notices his barn roof sagging under the weight of the snow. First, Daryl plows out folks who must get to work early. Porch lights flash in thanks, and he blinks his headlights back. His stomach growls as he glimpses a neighbor making breakfast. By 7 a.m., he has plowed 21 driveways. The truck radio blares. All local schools are closed. Good thing, right, Buster? Buster barks. The roads are too slippery for school buses. The Harch driveway is so steep and narrow that there's not much room to dump the heavy snow. As Daryl lowers the plow, the rear wheels slide off the road. He rocks the truck back and forth, back and forth. The tires swirl, the engine whines, and the back end swings closer to a ditch. Come on, come on, Daryl thumps the dashboard. And the truck jumps forward. Buster almost falls off the seat. At the house, Tommy Hart waves. Mom says, come have coffee. Tell her thanks, but I've got lots more driveways. Can I help? For a minute. Tommy climbs in, and they plow a hill of snow. Oh, boy. Mom and I can go sledding. Tommy jumps down. She'll like that, Daryl says. He turns forward his 23rd driveway and begins to think about Judy's fried eggs. Spring. It's 40 degrees when Daryl finishes loading his dump truck on a spring morning. Winter weather hangs on forever in northern Vermont, and the air still smells like wood smoke. Since dawn, Daryl has been splitting logs. The Barretts had run out of firewood and called him in a panic. We don't know when we'll be able to pay you, said Mr. Barrett. That's okay, Daryl said. Keep those kids warm. Just before Daryl leaves, Judy calls. Don't forget about our barn roof. Looks like a good wind will lift it right off. Daryl picks up Buster. I'll get to it soon, he says. Mud season has arrived, and the dirt roads are like chocolate pudding. The truck hits a rut and shoots sideways, sinking into a hole at the bottom of the Barretts Hill. Daryl and Buster wade through the mud up to the house. Looks like I'm stuck, he tells them. We're coming, said Mrs. Barrett. The Barretts and their two kids, David and Beth, help Daryl unload the wood. I'll be back for the truck, Daryl says. That evening, when the ruts freeze, Judy will bring him over on the tractor and they'll pull the truck out. We'll drive you home, Mrs. Barrett offers, but come in first for some apple pie. No time, but I almost forgot these. He hands carefully carved birds to David and Beth. Will you teach me to whittle? Beth asks. Sure. When his own kids were little, Daryl taught them to whittle too. Beth grins. Then I'm going to learn to carve a dog, just like Buster. Summer. It's 85 degrees and the blackbirds are biting when Daryl starts his backhoe. The Murphys are building a new room and Daryl is the excavator. Judy reminds him about the barn. Winter will be here sooner than we think. It doesn't look that bad, Daryl says, but it does. The backhoe is a large machine, but Daryl is an artist. If a hammer drops on the ground, he can pick it up with a big bucket as if he's using tweezers. He begins scooping and moves load after load of earth. The Murphys arrive as he finishes digging. Andrew Murphy throws a ball for Buster, and it flies into the hole. Buster jumps in after it and can't climb out. Sorry, Andy cries. Don't worry, Andy. Daryl swings the bucket around gently, picks up Buster, and deposits him back onto the bank. Buster shakes off. You folks interested in a pond over there? Daryl asks. He points down the hill. It'll be great for frogs and birds. I want frogs, Andy says, and his parents nod yes. The Murphys hear the backhoe for the rest of the day, and the next. Every day, Andy brings his frog net and watches the pond fill with water. Autumn. It's 50 degrees and the wind is fierce when Daryl, Judy, and Buster climb into the old truck on a brilliant October day. They are off to visit neighbors to see what everyone needs before winter. Judy keeps a list. What about our barn? She asks. Tomorrow, I promise, Daryl says. And he means it, because soon the cows will have to come inside. Some people need to have their driveways fixed. Some need firewood. The wind picks up and the list grows longer. Tree branches crash onto the road, and Daryl holds tight to the steering wheel on a gusty hill. Now I'm worried about the roof, he says. When they get home, their barn roof is gone. Daryl slams the brakes and jumps out of the truck. Buster runs in wild circles. They hurry to the barn, where the Harts and the Barretts are already taking measurements. Mr. Murphy greets Daryl. We saw it go and rushed right over, he explains. We're going to have a roof raising, says Beth Barrett. Daryl looks so embarrassed that Mr. Murphy says, you've helped us all, over and over. We're happy to help you. Mrs. Hart leads Daryl to the table. We've brought over some supper. Come and eat. It's getting dark outside, but inside it feels as if the sun is shining. Beth Barrett, Andy Murphy, and Tommy Hart bring Daryl and Judy heaping plates of stew and pie, and everybody is safe and sound, even Daryl. All of the books that I read today can be found in the collection called Start Your Engine, 5-Minute Stories, and it is available for checkout at the Farmington Public Library. The next couple things I'm going to read are from Richard Scarry's Busy Town Treasury. Uncle Willie and the Pirates. Not a soul dared to go sailing. Do you know why? There was a wicked band of pirates about, and they would steal anything they could get their hands on. But Uncle Willie wasn't afraid. They won't bother me, he said. He dropped his anchor near a deserted island. Auntie Pastry had baked him a pie for his lunch. I think I will have a little nap before I eat my pie, said Uncle Willie to himself. Uncle Willie went to sleep. Bzzz. What is that I see climbing on board? A pirate? And another? Pirates, Uncle Willie! Uncle Willie couldn't do a thing. There were just too many pirates. First, they put Uncle Willie on the deserted island. Then they started to eat his pie. Mmm, delicious, they all said. Uncle Willie was furious. He didn't care so much about the pie, but he needed his boat to get home again. Then he had an idea. He gathered some branches, some seashells, and some long beach grass. He wove the beach grass into a kind of cloth. He tied some seashells onto the branches and made a ferocious-looking mouth. He tied some grass cloth into the mouth, then attached some seashell eyes. By the time he tied on a spiky palm leaf, he had made a ferocious monster. Uncle Willie got inside. He was now Uncle Willie, the ferocious monster. Look out, you pirates! The ferocious monster swam out to the boat. The pirates were terrified. They all ran into the cabin. The ferocious monster closed the door behind them and locked it. The monster had captured the wicked pirates. Then he sailed back home. Auntie Pastry was on the dock. There is a horrible monster coming, she cried. He is even worse than the pirates. Uncle Willie took off his monster suit. Everyone said, thank goodness it was only you. Sergeant Murphy took the pirates away to be punished. Well, Uncle Willie had made the sea safe to sail on again. Hooray for Uncle Willie, the ferocious monster. Sergeant Murphy and the Banana Thief. Sergeant Murphy was busy putting parking tickets on cars when, suddenly, who should come running out of the market but Bananas Gorilla? He had stolen a bunch of bananas and was trying to escape. Murphy, look! He is stealing your motorcycle, too. Sergeant Murphy was furious. Huckle and Lowly Worm had been watching. Huckle said, "You may borrow my tricycle to chase after him, if you want to." Away they went, chasing after that naughty thief. They raced through the crowded streets. "Don't you ever ride your tricycle in the street." They crossed a drawbridge just as it was opening to let a boat go through. Bananas stopped suddenly and went into a restaurant. Murphy said to Louie, the owner, "I am looking for a thief." Together they searched the whole restaurant, but they couldn't find Bananas anywhere. Louie said, "Sit down and relax, Murphy. I will bring you and your friends something delicious to eat." "Somebody had better pick all those banana peels up before somebody slips on them, don't you think?" Louie brought them a bowl of banana soup. Lowly said, "I'll bet Bananas Gorilla would like to be here right now." "Huckle, we mustn't forget to wash our hands before eating," said Sergeant Murphy. So they walked back to the washroom. Lowly went along too. When they came back, they discovered that their table had disappeared. Indeed, it was slowly creeping away with a slipped banana peel. And guess who was hiding underneath? "Sergeant Murphy, we are very proud of you. Bananas must be punished. Someday he has to learn that it is naughty to steal things." Ma Pig's new car. Ma Pig bought a brand new car. She will certainly be surprised with her new car, won't she? On the way home, Pa stopped at a drugstore. When he came out, he got into a Jeep by mistake. "You should be wearing your glasses, Pa Pig." Harry and Sally thought that Pa had swapped cars with a soldier. When Pa went to the market, he came out and got into a police car. "You made a good swap, Daddy," said Harry. But Pa wasn't listening, and he didn't seem to be thinking very well either. Don't you agree? Next, Pa drove to the fruit stand to buy some apples. When he left, he took Farmer Fox's tractor. My, but Pa is absent-minded, isn't he? "Ma will certainly like her new tractor," said Sally to Harry. Then they stopped to watch a fire. When the fire was out, they left. In the fire engine, how can anyone make so many mistakes? Then they stopped to watch some workers who were digging a big hole in the ground. No, Pa did not get into the dump truck, but by mistake he got into Roger Rhino's power shovel. Ma Pig was certainly surprised to see her new car. But Pa, do you know how to stop it? Yes, he did. Oh, no. Here comes Roger now. He has found Ma Pig's new car, and he is bringing it to her. It looks as though he is very angry that someone took his power shovel. "Roger, please be careful. You were squeezing Ma's little car just a little bit too tightly." Well, let's all hope that Pa Pig will never make that many mistakes in one day. These stories were found in Richard Scarry's Busy Town Treasury, and it is available for checkout at the library. Both books that I've read today have many, many more stories in it that you are welcome to read when you check these books out at the Farmington Public Library. Don't forget to check our events calendar at www.infoway.org to find out about our upcoming events. Have a great day!
This has been Quintos Hana and Tales, presented by the Farmington Public Library and KSJE 90.9 FM.